An alien message for the human race. Jim Sparks. Prologue. By Linda Moulton Howe. In 1995, I first met Vincent Sparacino, also known as Jim Sparks. Jim was born to Italian parents on November 15, 1954. He grew up in southern Florida, graduated from high school and spent a couple of years in a local college studying real estate. He moved on to Houston, Texas, in 1979, and then to North Carolina where he purchased raw land, divided lots for housing construction, and always felt a strong need to preserve the trees at his developments. Happy, married and thriving, by 1988 at age 34, Sparks says he suddenly came face to face with beings from other worlds. Jim insists he has had completely conscious encounters with small, gray, drone worker types, taller true aliens, or supervisors, and tall reptoids with big human-shaped bodies covered with scaly, reptile skin. Jim Sparks sees himself as an interpreter or translator, or at least an elementary grade student in an alien school. Jim says he was forced by the gray beings to learn English letter and number equivalents to alien symbols. After 8 years of being close enough to breathe their rotten egg-smelling skin, Sparks thinks he has some insights into the alien agenda, but admits he has 1,000 more questions than answers. He is frustrated that he cannot prove his repeated and conscious contacts with alien beings since 1988. 7. The Keepers. Jim permitted me to tape record several hours of our discussions about his experiences, which I first published as Chapter 3 of my 1998 book, Glimpses of Other Realities, Volume 2, High Strangeness. I was always impressed by Jim's no-nonsense, call a spade attitude. He has always been straightforward in his descriptions, even if he did not always understand what he was seeing or experiencing. I would like to share one of Jim's insights now, before you begin his important first-person account. I understood better their nature and agenda. They are neither benevolent nor evil. They have been among us in secret for thousands of years, maybe longer. But the length of time isn't as much the issue as why they have been among us. I believe they have been farming us for raw materials. But now there's a problem, and their investment is in trouble. The aliens have spent a lot of time, travel and effort to farm us. But we are on an almost irreversible path of self-destruction. But if we environmentally destroy ourselves, the aliens still have an excellent insurance policy. They've been collecting seeds from plants, animals and humans. Through semen and over-extraction, the aliens can start us, or other Earth life, all over again here, or somewhere else. Foreword by Dr. John E. Mack, the 10th of April 2029 to the 27th of September 2004. Many Americans are having experiences which have come to be known as alien abductions. Despite the readiness of people who are not familiar with the details of the phenomenon to offer psychiatric or other conventional explanations, none of these has even begun to account for the strange nature, richness and awesome power of these experiences. Those who are willing to pay attention to what is going on here are confronted with an intriguing mystery of expanding scope. Jim Sparks's case has many of the features that have been reported now in hundreds of instances, but it is also unusual in several respects. His account provides one of our richest and the most detailed documentations of an abduction history. In addition, he shows clearly how the experiences evolved, together with shifts in his own consciousness. But above all, Sparks's recall is altogether conscious, that is, without the benefit of hypnosis, relaxation exercises or any other use of a non-ordinary state of consciousness for the exploration of buried memories. This should help to settle what may still remain of the suspicion that these experiences are somehow the product of a narrator trying to please a hypnotist. As for myself, I met Jim Sparks for the first time in March 1996, and although we have had 2 interviews and several other conversations, I cannot be regarded as complicit in bringing forth his knowledge, as his book was far along before we met. Linda Moulton Howe, Emmy Award-winning TV producer and reporter and editor, Earthfiles.com, Albuquerque, New Mexico, February 19, 2005, 8, 9, The Keepers, forward, sensing that he has something important to teach us. Sparks has avoided reading about alien abductions, lest his prior knowledge contaminate his account. Nevertheless, his story is in many ways consistent with the narratives and lives of other abductees I have seen or whose cases have been published. He has the passion, curiosity, and self-doubt of an authentic, truthful voice. There would be little reason to question the reality of what he has written except for the fact that from the standpoint of the materialist worldview that still dominates our culture, what Sparks has to tell us is simply not possible. We are then faced with the choice of rejecting his story prima facie or allowing ourselves to expand our notions of the possible by attending to what he has to say. Jim Sparks is an Italian-American who was in the residential real estate business when his experiences began. Those that he remembers began a decade ago. He has been informed by the alien beings that they are concentrating their contact now upon ordinary people. He regards himself as an average person, because agreements with Earth's leaders to correct the environmental condition of your planet were violated. Furthermore, Sparks is so convinced that information about alien cultures and activity of great importance for human health and the future of the Earth has been illegally suppressed by government officials that he initiated a National Security Information Amnesty Bill that would allow records to be opened and these individuals to come forward with what they know, without fear of reprisal. Initially, Jim's experiences, which occurred as often as several times a month, were primarily intrusive and terrifying, including the oft-reported forced extraction of sperm. Furthermore, he had been brought into a mind-boggling world where known physical laws were broken, passage through solid objects, shape-shifting, and instant, apparently thought-activated, transport. Something, he tells us, had invaded my being right down to the core. A process, totally outside of his control, had befallen him which utterly broke down his will, probing X, through to the deepest fiber of my mind. Sparks tried desperately to relate what was happening to him to familiar notions, thinking at first that he was being taken over by evil spirits. Little by little, Sparks was able to put aside his rage, overcome fear and accept that he was encountering some sort of technologically advanced non-human intelligence from which he could not escape. Beings with the ability to scan the deepest fiber of your soul, before which he was quite powerless. As he was able to surrender, the experiences transformed. Sparks found that he had been inducted into a kind of alien boot camp, a school of training and testing that made heavy use of riddles, ambiguity, paradox and symbolization, where much of the communication occurred telepathically or via connection with the alien's dark, mysterious eyes. The purpose of his schooling seems to be twofold: to create a hybrid race as an insurance policy for the future, and to awaken us to our mindless destructiveness, so that we may halt the devastation we are bringing to Earth. Sparks's articulate and moving expression of his awakening of consciousness in elation to this danger, a different point of view in sharp contrast to earlier feelings, which appears to be the core significance of the abduction experience for him and so many others, gives his book power and importance. The human race is isolated in the cosmos by ignorance. He has learned, not ready to join the intelligent life that exists in other realms and too dangerous to be set free in the universe to do as we please. As Sparks has moved beyond his resentment, he has come to feel quite fortunate to have somehow been chosen to participate in such a great adventure. He is unwavering in his conviction that we must heed the being's warnings in order to stop the destruction of the environment and the death of the planet. This central message is stressed repeatedly and relentlessly in Sparks's book, and is the reason for its power. Through Sparks, the beings, or whatever may be the intelligence behind this extraordinary phenomenon, tells of our failed stewardship. 11, the keepers of this magnificent planet. In several of his abductions, Sparks was shown on TV-like screen scenes of such breathtaking natural beauty that they left him completely mesmerized. But they would inevitably be followed by visions of mankind's destructive ways, as the images showed once beautiful forests now brown, gray and dead-looking instead of healthy and green, or dead, bloated fish floating on top of the water. Sparks writes, This made me feel very sad and depressed. Suddenly after one of these experiences a telepathic voice said, "You are killing your planet. Your planet is dying." In some of his experiences Sparks was confronted with the dangers of overpopulation, breaks in the food chain and the dangers of nuclear and biological contamination. "There are better ways," he was told, "of deriving your energy and food needs, without causing your planet any damage." Our mindlessness seems, in Sparks's experiences, to have cosmic proportions. In the galactic neighborhood, he was taught, there seems to be an order which our species is violating. In a certain sense, the reality or truth of all this is well known, so why should we pay attention to Jim Sparks, who has been informed by strange beings we do not even acknowledge exist? And if the aliens are so concerned with the Earth's ecology, why don't they just stop us? These are difficult questions to answer. First there is the emotional and transforming power of the environmental education for Sparks and many other abductees, which leads to a more total kind of commitment to changing direction. Also there is the sense in these experiences that the message is coming from a higher, or divine, source of great potency, should we be able to acknowledge its authority. Finally, as Sparks and other experiences have been told, the changes that may result from training like his must occur through shifts in consciousness of the human race, especially on the part of ordinary people, rather than by direct intervention. With the failure of leaders to take responsibility for the planet's plight, Sparks was told, "We are now concentrating our energy on the average person." 12. Forward. Sparks writes of changes in his own consciousness and psychic powers, an ability to see in other dimensions, a sixth and seventh sense. "These extra senses seem to lie dormant like an atrophied muscle," he says. "One just needs the tools, or technology, to tap into these realms. In my case, exposure to alien technology heightens the senses." Sparks is to be commended for having the courage to come out and tell his remarkable story. Many experiences are ridiculed privately and publicly for truths that run so counter to the official reality of our culture. He hopes that if he can provide an example of leadership in this regard, he may contribute to overcoming the denial that characterizes the prevailing reaction to the great dangers facing the Earth. To the end, Sparks, like all abductees, remains mystified as to the source of his experiences but feels that what he has learned is of immense power, importance and credibility. "What is wrong with us then?" he asks at the end of the book. "Are we blind?" "Maybe so, because it is taking cultures from God knows where to warn us." I asked Sparks to tell me how his experiences had changed him. In a letter sent to me by fax he wrote the following: "Prior to 1988, when he began to recall his experiences, about 95% of my energy was focused on business, marriage, recreation and living as carefree as possible. I had some concern for the environment. I tried to save as many trees as possible when I bought land and sold lots for home sites. My experience with advanced cultures in the last 9 years has changed my life and expanded my awareness. Clearly the Earth is alive, and we have cut off her arms and legs. Truly we have damaged her severely. She is a living body fighting for her life because we are attacking her vital organs. The heart and lungs of this plant lie in the rainforests of Central and South America. The attack on these vital organs is beginning to show signs that the Earth is having a difficult time trying to cleanse herself. As land is destroyed, diseases are released, along with the loss of potential cures." The list goes on and on. "My life has changed to the point that I am forming a foundation that will purchase and preserve valuable forest land." The 25th of April 1997. 13. Introduction. However, I can make an educated guess. They track family lines for many thousands of years, in my case since day one. They came to me totally out of the blue in 1988, and the first several years were a trauma-filled hell. I felt as if I had been drafted into a war that no one knew existed. I refer to this as an alien boot camp in which the MO is isolation, fear and confusion. This completely disrupted my life those first few years, but now I have come full circle. I wouldn't trade these experiences for anything in the world. My eyes have been opened. They are like us in some ways, but for the most part not like us at all. Technically speaking, they are light years ahead. However, in some cases we are catching up. Here are a few examples. They radiate an energy either naturally or technically enhanced that paralyzes you when they are just a few feet away. They can transmit and receive hundreds of thoughts at the same time. They're completely telepathic and can create any reality they wish you to believe. Their technology is thought-activated. They can pass through solid matter, travel dimensions and distort time using their understanding of science. Their technology is so advanced it almost seems like magic. This is a small part of it. I'm just getting started. All I can do is to tell you about them and relate my story to the best of my ability. The literature of alien contact has been around for over half a century. Everyone has heard of UFOs. I'd heard of UFOs before 1988 when this began, but I'd never seen one that I remembered. I'd never heard of the famous UFO abductees such as Betty and Barney Hill or Whitley Strieber. And I didn't read any other introduction. I can remember a time when I looked up in the sky and didn't see much. I can remember a life where I was just a normal guy, living a normal life. I worked hard, I took what life offered as best I could, and I loved and appreciated my family, without a whole lot of questions. Then things changed. I found out that things in my life, in your life, aren't as they seem to be. My name is Jim Sparks, and I have been contacted by extraterrestrial beings. Today I refer to them as advanced cultures. It should be made clear there are many different species of intelligent life that have been interacting with humans since the dawn of time. In this story, we will be focusing primarily on a race commonly referred to by researchers as Greys. My contact with these creatures has been one-on-one, face-to-face. I have been abducted so many times since 1988 I have lost count. Most abductees have fragmented memories. I have better than 95% total conscious recall. Listen to what they have said to me and what they have to say to us all. It's right here in this book. Whether they are extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional or just plain extracurricular, I can't say. I'm no expert. And why they've chosen me, I don't know. 14. 15. The Keeper's books that were causing people to take alien abductions seriously. Know what? I had other things to do. I guess I just didn't care. Why should I care? Why should you? After all, the conventional point of view in this world says that it's best for everybody if you just toe the line, believe what you're told to believe. As an enthusiastic capitalist American, you'd better believe that's just what I did. That's the way I was until 1988, though, when things changed and the alien abductions began. So I hear you thinking, hey, there are plenty of alien abduction stories. What's so special about this one? That's easy.